Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, here we are in San Diego for the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes from Chet Holmes International. She's the CEO. And today she's bringing some of her most interesting people to the table. No pressure, he says. Our first guest up is Paul Racer. He's the founder and CEO of the Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute. And I'm thinking to myself, Amanda, I don't know that everybody even really knows what artificial intelligence is.
No idea. Please, can you tell us what is artificial intelligence? Because it's a buzzword. We don't know.
So before we get into the technical details, what I'll say is you use artificial intelligence probably hundreds of times a day and you don't realize it's happening. So when you upload a photo to Facebook and it recognizes the people in that photo, it's using facial recognition. That's artificial intelligence. Someone taught a machine to recognize human faces and then taught it different points in the face to be able to recognize, is it Amanda, is it Alan? Like, so that was completely taught to a machine to think and act like a human. Your iPhone, if you have an iPhone 10 and you unlock it with facial recognition or send an emoji or anytime you ask Siri a question or Alexa a question, someone has taught a machine to have capabilities that are human-like, to understand language, to process the language, to return a voice that's generated by the machine that gives you the answer you're looking for. Netflix recommends shows to you based on behaviors and lookalikes. Again, the key here is there's no human sitting there coding what to recommend to you next on Netflix. It's learning itself based on your interactions and people like you to surface recommendations for you. So everywhere we look, Tesla, if you're lucky enough to have a Tesla in the autopilot mode where it can drive itself, again, it's taught to do it. It's using deep learning, something called neural nets, to think like a human thinks and to be able to recognize objects and know what to do. So you literally are interacting with AI all the time, every time you conduct a search on Google, and you don't know it. That's what is going to happen in marketing, and it's already starting to happen to a degree. So most marketers will actually never understand what AI really is or how it works. And one of the key takeaways is you don't actually have to. You just have to comprehend what it's capable of doing. And so what AI really is it's a set of technologies and processes that make machines smarter, that teach them to do things humans would normally be required to do. And the common terms would be machine learning and deep learning are the things you would hear. But again, you don't really need to know what they are. They're just meant to be enabling marketers to do things at scale they would have never been able to do before, and teaching machines to do things. Like an example in marketing would be writing email subject lines or figuring out what time to send an email to 10,000 people. Instead of all at once, you could send it individually to 10,000 people at 10,000 different times based on when they're most likely to open it. Those are sorts of things that humans aren't capable of actually doing. Machines can excel at those things.
Can you do that now? Can you send out a batch to 10,000 people and it can figure out when they would open it?
Yes. Yeah, there's a company called Seventh Sense that does that.
Yeah. You know, I know how to teach my dog things. And it kibbles and bits, you know, and the dog will do anything. But how do you, is it, I mean, just so I can try to wrap my brain around, how do you teach a computer to do that?
So it's largely done through what's called machine learning, which is teaching the machine, and it's done through supervised and unsupervised training. So it literally, like image recognition is a great example of this. Teaching a machine to recognize a dog from a cat, and then once it knows it's a dog or a cat, to recognize a breed. The way you have to do that is to show it millions of images of each dog and each breed. And it's literally trained over time to know. So this is the crazy part, is AI is actually really stupid. Like, it's very narrow in its capability. So if you take a 1.5-year-old and say, that's a dog, that's a cat, that little child will know for the rest of its life the difference between a dog and a cat. A machine has to be shown it millions of times. But once it's learned it, it can now do it at scale. So if you want to do a cool experiment, go in your, if you have iPhoto, like if you keep your photos on your iPhone, search for beach or tree or San Diego, like search for anything. It'll surface every photo you've ever taken that have those things in it or that in that location. And there's no human sitting there saying, here's all the San Diego photos, show it. It's the machine surfacing through your photos.
So then what is the Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute?
So this stuff made no sense to me either. In 2011, when Watson won on Jeopardy, I don't know if you remember IBM Watson, I was astounded, and I thought, what are the implications of that, and what is it? Like, what? How does that technology even work? So I read a book called Automate This by Christopher Steiner, and he talked about intelligent algorithms taking down industries, starting at Wall Street in the 1980s, 1987, was when he hacked NASDAQ and taught a machine how to make trades. UPS, all their when they're trying to figure out how to, they have 55,000 daily routes with 120 average deliveries per driver. They built an algorithm to teach it how to figure out how to optimally deliver all of those routes. So I started seeing all these things and thinking, like, what do we do with this? And what are the implications to marketing? And so what ended up happening is I considered building a company to eventually automate marketing strategy with AI.
Wowzer. I remember the movie War Games back in like the late 80s or something. And, you know, the computer played itself over and over again and said the only way to win the game is to not play the game. We're going to continue talking to Paul Raister, founder and CEO of Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute. Holy mackerel, we need this. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka. I can't stop this. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're back here in San Diego at the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes from Chet Holmes International. We're talking with Paul Raister. He founded Marketing and Artificial Intelligence Institute, and we're learning about AI marketing, which is happening to everybody constantly. I mean, maybe not my parents that don't do anything with any kind of smartphones or anything, but maybe so. Maybe they're still being marketed to in one way or another. How do we know, or is it something we need to know, or should we even care when we're being marketed to by AI?
You probably won't know. You actually, if you buy on Amazon, Amazon is a massive builder of AI tools that enables the personalization, kind of the one-to-one of marketing, where you feel like every product is being recommended specifically to you based on things you've done. Like if you go in there and you see these things, it's like, wow, how did they know I was interested in that? Or if you're scrolling through Facebook or doing a search and you get retargeted and it shows you an ad for something that you do happen to actually want to buy, you're being affected by AI. From a marketer perspective, it's looking at all the things you do every day that are very time intensive, very data driven, and assume you can actually teach AI to do that task.
What do you want to do with this institute? I mean, are you hoping to help people to understand better or to help them to market better? What is the actual purpose behind the institute?
I think it's going to completely transform marketing, agencies, jobs, careers, what universities teach. I run an agency as well, and my best guess is within 5 years, 80% of what we do will be done by machines. So I think that the future of the industry, of the economy, is going to be largely driven by AI. And this isn't just, I mean, go talk to Mark Cuban or Bill Gates or Elon Musk. Like, these are ideas often coming from these big thought leaders. So I think it's going to change. So we're trying to make it approachable and actionable. We're trying to help marketers understand what is it and how do we get started with it. And then in that process, I'm hoping to figure out what is the future of the industry. Where are these career paths going to go?
So his company is PR 2020 Public Relations and Marketing. He's also written two books. Author of The Marketing Performance Blueprint and The Marketing Agency Blueprint. I think he knows a little about marketing.
Yeah, I love it. So what would be some of the obstacles that we may face when trying to integrate artificial intelligence?
Right now, it's mainly applicable to larger enterprises, because to do AI well, you often need a lot of data, clean, unstructured, or structured data, but it has to be good. So for example, to figure out what email subject lines to write, the AI needs to look at a lot of previous emails to see what worked and what didn't. So the more data you have, the more traffic to your site, the bigger that those are, the more likely you're going to be able to benefit from AI in the near term. So not having a lot of data or being a small company, it's going to be limited in what you can do with it.
So I don't know about you, but my brain just exploded with ideas. And I think, you know, you're right. This particular gentleman is far ahead with his thinking. And even to create the Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute shows how far out there. Because when did you found this?
November of 16, we started the institute.
And, I mean, the average Joe marketer is just learning about it, perhaps at a conference like this.
It's really interesting because due to e-commerce and this whole retail apocalypse, I mean, Forrester predicts 1 million sales reps will be out of a job by 2020. And what you're saying now makes me think, well, maybe marketers will be out of a job, too. But is that true, or they'll probably just work with AI?
I generally say that in the next 3 to 5 years, which is what I would consider the near term, it's going to enhance knowledge and capabilities for marketers. It's going to give you superpowers. And the marketers that take the initiative to learn what it is and how to apply it are going to have a massive competitive advantage. After 5 years, I have no idea, and nobody does. AI experts, the actual machine learning engineers, probably couldn't predict what will happen. I mean, Steve Jobs, 10 years ago when he created the iPhone, probably couldn't have actually predicted all the effect the iPhone would have. Now double or quadruple the impact AI will have, because the change is going to be accelerated because AI is driving the acceleration.
Wow. Well, let me just take a little break here. There's so much to think about here. Paul Raitzer, founder and CEO of the Marketing Artificial Intelligence Institute. And I am blown away. That's all I can say. Let's take a little break and we'll come back. Maybe you can teach us a little bit about how we can take advantage of this amazing artificial intelligence.
Cruise up and down this road, up and down this road. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. Again, we're at the Traffic and Conversion Summit 2018 in San Diego, California. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes. And Amanda, I am once again blown away. All I can say is that the life that you have lived and witnessed, and because of your father and the Ultimate Sales Machine, it seems like we are in a brand new era that, you know, I mean, God rest him, he's gone now, but you're the next generation. You're the millennial. You're the CEO of Chet Holmes International. I think that this artificial intelligence marketing is the next horizon. And maybe I could get you to start out with this, because to me, this is your legacy. This is your next big thing, I think.
Thank you so much, Alan. That's really sweet. I'm like, we're talking about Paul here. I do think that so much has changed over the last 5-10 years, and I've seen it with our company. Has been around for 27 years, so there have been so many different mediums, and it's so fascinating to me what you have said. How do we take that first step?
Yeah, and you know what? It is about you, because you have the Institute, but I think it's the marketers like Amanda and Chet Holmes International that are going to come to you and work in somehow in concert with your company, because it's so big.
Yeah, it's a great question. It is the question I often get first after giving a talk. It's like, okay, what do we do? This is overwhelming. My mind is blown. And so I always try and bring it back to what AI is capable of doing is specific narrow tasks. You have to program it to do one thing, like send an email or optimize a subject line or A/B test a landing page. There's no general intelligence like you see in the movie, like Ex Machina doesn't exist. It's sci-fi right now. So what my advice is always, start with a single use case. Find the task that you spend the most time on each month or each week that's data driven, that's time intensive. Assume there is AI that can do that for you, and go find it and test it and see how it works, and then go find the next thing. So it's prioritizing and finding a single use case that'll show you the power of AI.
It's interesting, you and I are a little bit older, and Amanda's 30, she just turned 30. And I think, you know, I have a son who's 30. Actually, they have their birthday's one day apart. And I think to myself, you know, you and I, we grew up kind of old school way of doing things, and there was magazine ads and newspaper ads and radio ads, television ads, and Amanda had that stat, what was that stat again about the different types of?
Oh, it took 38 years to get to 50 million users on radio, and it only took 2 years for Facebook to get to 50 million.
And that's just one perfect example. For the next generation, after you and I are sitting in our wheelchairs or on the rocking chair on the front board, these young people have this directly in front of them, and they have to master this. They have to bridle it and control it, because there's that scary side of it. And is there a scary side? I mean, you're entrenched in it. Should people be afraid of artificial intelligence?
This is such a deep hole to go down. Yeah, there's a very dystopian side to AI. What I tend to advise people is don't worry about it, because it's out of our control at this point. There are some very bright, very wealthy people asking the right questions and trying to put guidelines in place to protect what can happen. But generally speaking, I think it'll be good. It'll solve a lot of very difficult challenges that human minds struggle to solve. That'll be very important to the world. So at a business, societal level, economic level, it'll be good. But there are definitely some things we need to be aware of and be concerned about.
It's interesting because it's in essence very early, even though science fiction has been talking about it for a long time, but it's in essence very early. So I noticed you struggled just a little bit to answer that, only because, sure, there's dangers, just like driving a car. I mean, I bought a car recently that'll do, you know, 200 miles an hour. Should I drive it 200 miles an hour? No. Will I? Probably yes. But that's a whole other story because I'm a knucklehead. But like I said, it's up to the young folks of today to bridle that. And because they've got a stallion. They don't just have a pony. They've got a stallion with this one.
I'll give you a little context. So Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, recently did an interview with Recode that was on MSNBC. And he said that AI is the most profound thing humanity is working on today. It's more profound than, I don't know, fire or electricity. And the response Kara Swisher said was, well, fire's dangerous. And he said, yeah, but the impact it can actually have on humanity is on par with, if not ahead of, the advent of the internet itself, and even to the most basic fundamentals of fire and electricity. Like, it's literally going to change everything.
Which is why we need brilliant people to be able to keep control over this. And that's why I like hanging around Amanda Holmes.
And Paul, obviously.
Yeah, but see, he's going to take us down the path, and then he and I are going to go sit in the rocking chair and watch you finish it off. So listen, it's
you can do that sooner than later if you'd like.
Right, exactly, right. I am very, very impressed. How can people find out more about your institute?
Just marketingaiinstitute.com is the site dedicated to it. You can just subscribe. It's just a newsletter. It's not even something we're monetizing, honestly, right now. It's all about just building the audience, creating the content, and seeing where it all takes us.
I will invite you to please communicate through us to our world at Entrepreneur. Happy to, whenever you have something that's very interesting, that's engaging. I mean, all this is so interesting. I can have you on every week, but let's at least once a month or so get an update or something from you and help you to grow this. Because like you said, there's a certain danger to it, but there's a certain, not a certain, there's a huge upside to this, I believe. So we have to just watch it and learn from it and grow and make sure that we also have the young people of this world weigh in sooner than later, because I think they're the ones that are going to ultimately come up with the solutions for whatever problems may happen. Those are the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. Amanda?
I agree.
There you go. Any last thoughts on that, Paul?
No, I thank you. I appreciate the offer. And I mean, honestly, I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I do spend time wondering, like, what will they learn? What will their world look like? Will my daughter ever have to drive a car in 10 years? Like, I think it's just, it is changing so quick, and there's so much to learn. And I think the more people that are talking about it, the better chance we have of finding the good in it.
Paul Raitzer, once again, marketingartificialintelligenceinstitute.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. We're at the Traffic and Conversion Summit in San Diego, California. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes. She's the CEO of Chet Holmes International, and she knows half of the 6,000 people that are here. So, Amanda, tell us a little bit about your friend that's sitting here next to us.
Well, Jasmine Starr is, how do you even put into words how amazing? What we're going to talk about today specifically is how to turn followers into clients, how to actually get them to pay for your services, which is pretty remarkable because I think majority of people don't know how to do this. And your numbers on Instagram is what, like 220,000 people following you there?
Yes.
So she knows what she's doing. But I'm so curious because first you started as a blogger, right? And then you said, okay, let's jump over to Facebook. And then you became the Facebook girl. And then you became an Instagram girl. So obviously you understand the power of having conversation, which I just took from your talk here at TNC. So Can you tell us a little bit about why social? Let's just start broad. Why do we want to go on social?
As humans, we're hardwired for connection. And what's happened is that over a period of time, we became very isolated in our cubicles, in our cars, with our own family. So it became like a singular direction. I went from point A to point B, and somewhere in the middle of the day, I interacted with the same group of people again and again. What social did was open so many doors for us to actually find our online spirit animals. Like, this is us reaching out to people who like the same things we do and watch the same things we do and build businesses the way that we do. And all of a sudden, we were creating online communities and worlds that empowered us to be our true selves. And so all of a sudden, it really tapped into a universal craving that we were now able to scale.
It's interesting she talks about this because I see posts that I've done that come back up in the memories, right? And I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. I have kids, you know, but and nothing bad, but I just think now they look at me differently, right? Because they're seeing that inner spirit animal because I'm all alone when I'm doing my Facebook stuff and it's kind of just me and my little, you know, machine. So it's interesting how this is really changing the world.
Absolutely. But furthermore, I really just want to focus on a niche, a group of people who really want to use social media not to become popular, because there's kind of this misnomer. It's like our metrics matter. Our metrics now define us. And I'm completely the antithesis of that. Now, I understand that metrics are important to a certain degree, but I'm less concerned about being popular. I am more concerned about being profitable. And I have come to believe, and this is like a really bad spinoff of a Dale Carnegie quote, and he says, your business will go farther being genuinely interested in two other people than trying to get 200 people interested in you. And I feel like social media empowers us to care, to just freaking care about the people who are there. That yes, I want more followers, and yes, I want you and you and everybody here to get more followers, but not at the account of you becoming bigger than your britches. Reaching out to one person, your life can change, your business can change, and then it just pays it forward continuously.
I like that.
Give me an example of that in the day-to-day. How would you do that on Instagram?
I just listen. And I think that people ask, like, how are you able to leverage social media? How are you able to grow followings? And I'm like, I just watch humans. And I'm actually very thankful. So I probably, this doesn't go off a little bit, but I think this kind of plays into why I am the way that I am. I grew up extraordinarily poor, the daughter of immigrants. My parents barely graduated high school. My dad didn't learn how to read until his mid-20s. And so they really poured into us, and my parents homeschooled us, which is really odd, right? But they did, and they gave us, they were total hippies about it, gave us freedom to explore and create. As a result of like being immigrants and being actually very, very, very financially strapped all the time, I turned to food as solace. I gained a ton of weight. I ended up being an obese child at the age of 11. But the result of that was I poured myself into reading and into people watching. Because when you are that size and you're that awkward and you're that overlooked, you kind of remain in the periphery of rooms constantly. But that created this like innate nature for me to look at people and understand how people are engaging. And now as an adult that I've actually finally found my voice and found my identity and who I am and really appreciate how I was raised and by whom I was raised, I now have a gift that I can walk into a room and understand, oh, this is the dynamic. This is how you engage one-on-one. And I've been able to parlay that into social media. And it's just been a total game changer.
Well, I know that I'm a little bit overweight. I'm 5 foot fat. And I'm sitting next to Raquel Welch over here.
No,
you know, oh, my gosh, you're beautiful. But and then the thing is that I'm watching you. And it's so interesting you say that you just watch and you just listen. And that's like something that is a lost art, I think. People are so, look at me, they're not actually looking at others in a way, how can I help you? How can I give? How can I take care? How can I nurture? It's like a lost art almost. Mothers have it. Instinctively, women have it. Men, you know, giant walking egos. We want to look at me, look at me. I remember when I was dating my wife, oh, many 37 years ago, I said to her, we were swinging on a swing or something, and I'm like getting really high, and I said, am I the best swinger you know? I was just joking, right? And she goes, all you ever do is pat yourself on the back. And I never forget that 37 years later. We're little boys, men, always wanting to be told that we're okay, that we're good. This is something that comes from childhood. You mentioned that yours was from the age of 11. And, you know, that point of your time, of your life, you were going through a tough spell and you overcame it through introspection. So I'm very proud of you for what you've, you know, accomplished just as a person. I don't even know about what you've done in business yet. We haven't got there yet, Amanda. What does she do in business?
She assists businesses to grow using Instagram, but more than social Instagrams.
Yeah.
social platforms across the board. And I think that to bring it back to like a practical sense, because it's nice to feel warm and fuzzy, but warm and fuzzy doesn't necessarily...
Come on, lady.
What we really want to talk about is the ability. Something that you had just said is that we want to walk into a room and say, look at us and look at us. But this now becomes, if we can all agree that this is a general sentiment on social media, specifically as business owners using this element as part of social media, there's this big, huge, glaring gap for us to insert ourselves, to position ourselves as to be somebody who cares, as to be a person of service, as to be a person who's empathetic and understands the struggles of our customers. That's what we need to do. We need to watch, we need to listen, we need to understand, and then we need to create products to help them get to where they want to go. Because then it becomes less about you and more about the service that your business provides. And I think that social media, when you build out your platforms, and 90% of it is just free content, value-driven, get out there, build trust. When it comes time to convert them into a customer, you've already done the heavy work.
Let's take a little break. We're talking with Jasmine Starr, Amanda Holmes. I'm Alan Taylor. This is good stuff. How do we create that paradigm shift? That's the big question. We'll talk about it next here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm here with Amanda Holmes and Jasmine Starr, learning how to care again about somebody else other than my own self. And I think that, Jasmine, I didn't get to see your talk on the stage, and hopefully we can spend this next segment here talking a little bit more about how people can take action, some actionable steps. Amanda, I'm going to let you start out here.
Yeah, that was my exact question. So if I were starting out, what do I do? Because it feels like just such a defeat. You open up a page and then you start posting and you think everybody's going to come and comment, and it just does not happen.
Well, first things first, Instagram. Let's niche just down to Instagram, because we could talk about Facebook and Twitter and different social platforms, but for the sake of this conversation, let's talk about things that we can do now that could parlay to over social to other social platforms. So first and foremost, you want to make sure that your bio on your Instagram account is actually prepping people for sales. Oftentimes people will just say like, oh, mom bakes cakes, loves my husband, find me at the beach. And you are trying to run a business with a bio like that. What you need to do is have a bio. And here's the thing. These are not made up. I actually go through hundreds of accounts every month, and I see this quite often from entrepreneurs. And they kind of use their profile as an identity factor instead of saying, this is what my business does as value to you. So I talk about the five pieces. So this is the one thing that we walk away with. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. Number one, in order to create a boss bio on Instagram, number one, I want you to include a description. Truly, how do you want people to describe you? She's a cook. She's a fitness coach. He is a yoga guru. Number two, I want you to talk about the benefits. Right there in your bio, what are you going to give or provide for your followers? Is it meal planning? Is it dressing tips? Is it yoga poses and tutorial weekly tutorials? Then I want you to talk about how they can contact you. This is really basic, but oftentimes people miss it. Email address, phone number. You can also hashtag your city and be shown up in random hashtags. And number four, you want to make sure that you're including a way for people to contact you in your funnel. Because what happens is people say, I'm not getting business from Instagram. But I've never believed that I got business from Instagram. I believe I got leads from Instagram. It's my job to, on the back end, cultivate them into customers. And that's definitely the long, long game. So we want to make sure that we're going through our description, the benefits, contact information, and a way to get them from the top of the funnel back into the sales page.
Geez, I thought it was just a place to put your pictures of your cars and your kids. There's a lot going on here, huh, Amanda?
I love that. No, I definitely have been trying to understand this concept, and I'm sure everybody, like you're saying, so I don't post about my life, then do I become somebody that writes quotes online? Like, where do I go from there? I love what you just did about the blog. So where do I start with content?
Well, content-wise, I'm never one to dissuade people from posting about their personal elements of their life. But the way that it becomes differentiated is on your personal Instagram, you can post whatever the heck you darn want. When it comes to your business account, you can post the identical photo, but the copy must point it back to the value and service that you provide to your customers. So are you practicing yoga? And what does it have to do with your business? Well, you could just say, yoga is a daily practice as it helps sharpen my mind and my soul so that when I go into the office, I'm ready to blank. What do you provide? Offer consulting services. I check in with my coaches. I have better communication with my loved ones. You're basically talking about your business, but you're not leading with your business. I call that like providing value before having a sales pitch.
Yes, it's rich content, educational, to help you actually accomplish something more than just smiling at a photo or agreeing with something and hitting the little heart button, right? So, I mean, there's a lot going on here, and that's what this whole traffic and conversion thing is. You're taking traffic, converting it into dollars, right?
No, I love it. So what would be some calls to action? You said that you're generating leads. I'm bringing you back to the bio because I'm curious, what would be some things that would pop up for Instagrammers to say, yes, I want to, would you be getting their email? What would be that giveaway or gift?
The gift is always the thing that I'm always wanting is the email, because I know that I can get them into a funnel and convert them over time. In addition to keeping them engaged on Instagram, the thing that I always want to make clear is that opt-ins, lead magnets that work well on a platform like Facebook may or may not work also on Instagram. The key is to position, like, what does your business provide? I can't say, hands down, this is a lead magnet that always works, because if that's not what your business does, you're going to have a hard time connecting the dots. So you want to create a lead magnet that points people back to what it is that you do. So if I was a business coach, I probably would want to have a lead magnet of 5 tips to ensure that your business is off to a great start, or take this quiz to see what type of business owner you are, or you have like a catchy catchphrase like, take this quiz to determine if you'll be successful in 1, 3, or 5 years. You know, it's like really giving people content to be like, oh, this is the thing that I want. You, in exchange, get their email address, and then you follow up with a very powerful email sequence to say who I am, what I do, and why I'm different than all the other business coaches out there.
If you can't explain what you do that succinctly, then you ought to be doing something else. That was really good, by the way. Now, how do people find you? What is the name of your company, your business? Give us all that, because now it's your turn.
Well, I'm very proud to say that you can find me on all forms of social media at Jasmine Starr. And I provide a monthly social media subscription for small business owners. These are people who really want to show up on social media, but they don't have the visuals. So I provide, as a photographer, I'm able to provide 30 stock photos for people to have no excuse to show up on Facebook, on Instagram. We have swipe caption templates. I'm kind of like a savvy social media writer. So now it's like fill in the blank. You know what to say on social media. You know how to be present, and a monthly action plan. Like for people who are like, I want to use it. I'm just not sure. I get stressed out. This is literally homework every month that actually shows up in results and profitability at the end of the day.
You want to be a star? Work with Jasmine Starr, evidently.
Hey.
Thanks, Jasmine.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys very much.
Wait, where do we get that?
Thank you so much. Yeah. The URL is mysocialcurator.com.
Okay, or just Google Jasmine Starr. Find her on Facebook or Instagram or wherever else she is, because she seems to be everywhere. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're back here at the Traffic and Conversion Conference in San Diego, and Scott Duffy, MC of the whole thing. You're doing a great job, by the way. And
thank you.
I'm glad you get to come over every now and then and talk with us here on Entrepreneur Weekly. You have a lot of friends here, and I think this guy right here is like your neighbor or
something? This is Mike. This is Mike Segura. I'm so happy that we have a chance to have Mike on. Mike and I first got to know each other in the hood. We live just a couple blocks away from one another. And when I first met Mike, it was because we were both really passionate about raising money for our kids' school. And Mike has, among many other things, a payment processing company, and he donated in that payment processing platform. But he's just working on a lot of really cool stuff, including a new software program. And so I'm just really excited to hear more from Mike today.
All right. And I understand it's just about to launch. Your company, Group ISO. Tell the world what you do, Mike. And Scott's going to run off. Thank you, Scott. He's going to run off and get on stage again. Tell us what you do, first of all, for a living. What is your business?
Group ISO is a credit card processing company that processes transactions. We do it through the internet, terminals, interactive through the gateways. So it allows you to process transactions.
So I have a gym, and once a month we process, you know, credit cards. And every now and then, some of these things are expired. They've been, you know, something's gone wrong. And it's just really a nightmare to get a hold of the people and start the whole process over. I understand that your new platform is going to take care of that problem for a lot of small business.
So what we have is we have a new software. It's going to be come out here in March, and it's a middleware, and it allows the different gateways to integrate through the middleware. And then from the middleware, it will also go into the different accounting softwares, where it goes into P3 or QuickBooks, and it does all the integration, so there's no data entry and no manual entry.
So explain how that could possibly work, because that would remove the human factor of all those mistakes and, you know, having to get all the numbers just right. It does it for you? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And so when you do a transaction on the internet, it has all the information. It's all filled out. All the lines are all filled out. And all it does is take that information and then puts it through the middleware and then integrates it right into the accounting software. So this way, you don't have to take the data. You don't have to make sure it says $100. You don't put $1,000 and it doesn't correlate to your accounting balance. And it does updating on the inventory real time. So if you say you have 10 t-shirts, you have 10.
And this seems to me like, if I'm getting this right, this is going to revolutionize the whole credit card industry.
Well, it will definitely change it, where no one's been really doing the integrations unless there's certain processors where it's QuickBooks or Sage directly, and they do their own processing, but they don't allow other processors to do it. And what they could do is charge you more money for it, and now it opens it up for the whole market, so everyone will be able to do it.
So they don't have to subscribe to Group ISO? I mean, they can still use their...
Not at all. You could process whoever you want to process with, and you just use our middleware to integrate into it.
So ultimately, who is your customer then?
Our customer is the ISOs. Our customers are different software, merchants with, you know, Omni Merchant, because they get anyone that needs this service to get integrated into it.
This seems to me like it's going to be game-changing for a lot of people, a lot of small businesses, even like me with our gym. I mean, at least once a month we're having to go back and somebody's credit card got turned off or got lost and they have a new number. But you guys are now solving this all electronically, automatically.
And that's what's great about it. It's like you're talking about automatically getting the update or done when you have the credit card. So if you have 200 transactions at the end of the month and there's like 20 of them that don't go through, out of those 20, it will take them aside and find out if ones are expired. It'll update the card number, and if the ones are not updated on the credit cards or if they're lost or stolen cards, they'll update it as well. And that will make a big difference of, you know, out of those 20, you may only get 4 or 5 are just over their limits, and that wouldn't be updated.
So I'm just curious, how do people find out more about this then from you?
It would be omnimerchant.com.
Omnimerchant.com. Michael Segura, thank you, man. This is a really big deal. I mean, it's going to be for all us little business guys out there. It's going to be a big game changer, make it all more automated.
And that's what people need, you know, just like the big companies have it. You know, they have updaters. You go AT&T, they update your credit card. You know, they have all the integration, their accounting software. The small little guys need it too.
Exactly. All right, well, here we are at the TNC conference, and a lot of new digital marketing opportunities for all of us here in 2018.
Thank you.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.